think that's a little bit better. Well, happy Sabbath, and get this adjusted. That kind of amazes me how fast this year is going. We're already, you know, looking forward to the Feast of Trumpets in 2 weeks, and then welcoming in the Feast of our Lord. I want to take some time to talk today about what we need to do to really prepare our hearts and getting ready for this time of year, this set-apart time with our Lord. I guess the first question to answer is how we go about preparing ourselves for such a thing as this. What kind of gauge or benchmark do we use to determine if we are living a good Christian life? As Christians, I think we need to take a close look at what the name Christian implies. The term Christian was first spoken in Acts 11, verses 25-26. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. We learn in this passage in Acts 11 that before we were called Christians, Christ's followers were known as his disciples. Now, the term disciple means learner or pupil, and is further defined as one who embraces and assists in teaching the doctrines of a teacher. So I think the question to assess our walk with Christ is, are we truly his disciples? Are we truly walking out our faith in those ways, in the ways that he teaches? And I believe that this is both a matter of the heart and of doing, because out of the heart comes our actions and our attitudes. In this study, I will examine what it means to be a disciple of Christ and challenge each of us to examine ourselves and prepare our hearts and minds as his disciples. In Mark 1:16-18, Jesus calls two of his disciples. Mark 16 says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Simply put, disciples are devout followers of Jesus. They have responded with their whole being to the call of Christ to follow him and become fishers of men. They demonstrate their discipleship by giving their hearts to God in piety or reverent devotion. The early disciples had a personal relationship with Jesus. They lived with Jesus every day, and their lives were shaped by that relationship. Giving their minds to God in study, the early disciples were students. Jesus taught them about God, life, ministry. The word disciple means a learner, a pupil of a master. Giving their hands and feet to God by doing his will. Piety and study are not the ends in of themselves, but prepare us for action as his disciples. The disciples were partners with Jesus in ministry. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72 of his disciples, giving them power to heal the sick and cast out demons. Jesus' goal was to make them and us fishers of men and spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Discipleship is the process of becoming the whole person God calls us, each of us, to be through a relationship with Jesus Christ. A disciple embraces God's highest purpose for his or her life to grow in the likeness of Christ for the sake of others. In Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, this means a disciple is a growing person. A disciple learns to live fully by faith in Christ. He or she grows in capacity to love God in all circumstances and to love people of all kinds. A disciple is a minister. A disciple is a partner in Christ's redemptive work. Ministry is helping people become the whole person that God is calling them to be. Jesus called common fishermen to become the greatest kind of fishermen they could be, fishers of men. A disciple is a full-time Christian. Discipleship is not a full-time activity, or is not a part-time activity. It is a Christian's true vocation. It is a way of life, trying to live daily according to Christ's teaching. A disciple is a witness to Christ. Disciples are living evidence of God's grace and Christ's resurrection. A disciple is a Christian leader. Jesus called his disciples out of the world to be leaders. By becoming followers of Jesus, the disciples become leaders among people. The same is true of present-day disciples. Disciples hear Christ's call to step out of the crowd and lead the way. As Christian leaders, we reach out and lead others to this life of grace. We are like Andrew. After Andrew began to follow Jesus, he found his brother Simon and led him to Christ. Each person here is a leader. Jesus calls you the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are a leader when you use your unique gifts to serve God and others. Christian leadership is not based on the power of position, but on the authority of love and commitment to truth. The style of Christian leadership is servanthood. There's certain natural qualities of a disciple. A disciple knows his or her priority. A disciple's priority sets the course for his or her life, gives direction, and challenges a disciple to give up, to live up to his or her potential. A disciple has discipline. Discipleship involves accepting the discipline of following Christ each day and every minute of our lives. It means living in God's presence continually and using one's gift for ministry. Church participation is a disciplined giving of your presence, prayers, gifts, service. A disciple knows reality. A disciple is keenly aware of surrounding people and circumstances. He has a clear head, a warm heart, and both feet on the ground. Disciples realize that the persons they meet each day are the ones God is giving them to witness to. Disciple shows empathy, identifying with other persons, both in their sorrow and their joy. Genuine appreciation of the gifts and experience of others is a characteristic of Christian leadership. A disciple takes initiative. A disciple is a self-starter, sizing up a need and taking steps to meet it. He or she lives with eyes open, seeing every situation as an opportunity for witness. The actions of modern-day disciples are like the continuation of the book of Acts. Through us, the Acts of the Apostles continue to unfold. Today, as the story of the Holy Spirit acting through ordinary men and women. The disciple is generous. The disciple lives and acts out of gratitude for all that God has given and is giving. A disciple is blessed to be a blessing, gladly exhibiting towards others the generosity he or she has experienced from God. As one person said, evangelism is a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread, so to speak. And a disciple does not hold living bread from a starving world. There are spiritual qualities of a disciple. God, working through His Holy Spirit, gives disciples certain spiritual qualities, manifestations of God's gift of grace. By virtue of these qualities, disciples show forth Christ in their lives. First, quality or spiritual quality would be faith. A disciple exhibits a lively faith. This is not just a general belief that God exists. Even the devil knows that. But a motivating conviction that Jesus is Lord. That the way of Christ is worth the risks. And that with God all things are possible. The book of Acts recounts chapter after chapter of what God did through the followers of Christ. How they knew they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And how they worked with joyful trust. And what God could do through them. They did not always have understanding, but they had faith. A lively faith says God can do everything, anything. And it's exciting to be God's instrument. Another spiritual quality of the disciple is humility. Disciple is humble. The disciple knows that he or she has not arrived, but is on the way. The disciple is not born anew, but continues to mature as a son or daughter of God. Thus, the disciple is open to truth, teachable, and unblocked by false pride or a need for attention. A true disciple knows that much can be done when no one is concerned about who gets the credit. Humility is born out of a relationship with Jesus Christ, who gave up His divine credentials to bring us salvation. Another spiritual quality of a disciple is hope. A disciple is sustained by hope in God. When human hope ends, hope in God begins. A disciple remembers the open tomb, and even dead ends and disappointments can be doorways to new life. When others are frustrated and give up, a disciple perseveres in the belief that for God, all things are possible. In all circumstances, a disciple displays a living hope and hope to others. Christian hope is not some Pollyanna optimism, nor is a disciple satisfied with the status quo. A disciple is motivated by a Christian vision for the world and for possibilities of life in Christ for each person. A disciple loves. To a disciple of Jesus, every person matters. The depth of a disciple's love determines the extent of dedication of his or her discipleship. The love of God is more than just sentimentalism or warm religious feeling. It is the willingness to sacrifice for the well-being of another. Out of love for God and neighbor, a disciple wants to share the good news of grace and be present for others in time of need. As we prepare ourselves to enter into this holy season of these fall feast days, we should examine ourselves and determine what it means for each one of us to truly be a Christ follower. Are we truly His disciples? Is our devotion to following Christ Jesus displayed in our actions and attitudes each day? Do we truly do our best to walk out the teaching of our Lord each day of our lives? Do we love God with all our might and our neighbor as ourselves? Do we take every thought captive to obey Christ? Do we pick up our cross daily to follow Him? Do we love our enemy? Do we follow the teaching of Christ as a matter of growing into the likeness of Christ? I think that this, at the same time we are wrestling over these questions of, are we truly devoted to our Savior? to be a follower of Christ, we must also acknowledge the times we fail these very things. I think the Apostle Paul says it best in Romans 7, starting in verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. At times, when we fall back in our walk with the Lord, do we listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and stop and acknowledge our sin by confessing to God and one another our wrongdoing? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. So he doesn't just stop by forgiving our sins. He cleanses us, is his promise. Being a disciple of Christ isn't about being perfect. We all fail at times. But instead, it's about living a life with a heart devoted to striving toward following the teachings of the one who is perfect and then growing in his likeness. In conclusion, I'd like to read a poem that I came across a couple years ago about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It's entitled, I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living. Sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have the right to be first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set, my goal is fast, my goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few. But my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder in the full pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear, as I am a disciple of Jesus the Christ. That's all I have this morning. Any questions, comments?